So is it bad news, or could it get to be even worse news for the Ontario PCs? A little bit of political shrapnel for a majority government with no election for the next 3+ years. And that one last June's election handily coming off a couple years of a pandemic response in which they were notably criticized. What government wasn't, right? So it's going to be interesting. I don't know that it's a scandal per se, but it's something. And you wonder if this was easy to avoid or not. So why the one investigation could be more harmful to Doug Ford's conservative government than the other, I lay that out for you coming up on Toronto Today.
Let me start here on the Green Belt. And I don't want to, I will keep this simple for those that don't know much about it. And I will keep this quite intriguing, given we've got two investigations now. And there could have been more. So let me lay out some of what I saw yesterday. I don't know that it's awful news for the Ford government. I think it's worse news for the government than it is for Doug Ford himself. And I actually think it's quite concerning news for the housing minister, Steve Clark. I'm not saying that at some point he won't be the housing minister based on yesterday, but there's more of a chance than there was 24 hours ago. Both the housing minister and the premier have said, we didn't tip off developers. We've done nothing wrong. The Ontario Integrity Commissioner isn't saying, well, yes, you have. And the Auditor General isn't saying, you certainly have. But the fact that they're opening up investigations, separate ones, into the decision, the call that the Ontario PCs made to open up protected Greenbelt lands is significant. They could have said no, no thanks. We talked last week on the show to Mike Schreiner, who's the Green Party leader, and this morning we'll talk around 7:30 to interim Liberal leader John Fraser. Look, the idea is poke a lot of holes into the Ford government and what they do. But this one seemed an obvious one. You're not going to get three opposition leaders, Marit Stiles, John Fraser, Mike Schreiner, to all agree on exactly how to go about it. But on this one, they did. They wanted an investigation into two things. Now, what's the integrity commissioner going to look at? Basically, whether or not there was a tip-off, whether or not there was, to some extent, insider trading here and a little when it comes to, that's whispering, when it comes to deciding whether or not to open up massive parcels of land that you're not allowed to develop on. Why would those be hot commodities for, I don't know, developers? Like, it is not without suspicion. It is not without concern that that was the case. The Auditor General, to me, it's a less interesting job, but it's also a less interesting look-see into value for dollar. I think they'll actually find that the Greenbelt probably needs to be built on to some extent. If you're going to add to the Greenbelt, you're allowed to subtract from it at different times, lest we forget for over a decade of Ontario Liberal governments, they dug into the Greenbelt 7 different times. But this one feels different. I think we talk and live and walk, if you will, the talk about the environment more so significantly than we used to 10, 12 years ago, more than we did in the early days of the Dalton McGuinty governments, okay, and majority government after majority government. They were in power for a decade and a half. They're going to dig in and develop land for an increasing population. But everybody knows the phrase, hey, listen, if you believe that, I've got some swampland for sale. Well, in this case, the Ford government did. And usually you'd think, well, I won't pay a lot for that swampland because it's swamp. What can I do with it? It doesn't feel like a 5-bedroom house is going to fit with a tennis court and a separate, you know, guest cottage and a 3-car garage. But those are kind of the houses that are going to be built in some areas of the Greenbelt. I'm east of Toronto where I live, and I know a lot of this area really, really well, and it's going to be incredibly valuable. Here's what Doug Ford said a little while back about the Greenbelt proper and whether or not there was going to be sales emanating from it.
We're going to see 60% of the new immigrants come right here, which I want. So that's about 300,000 every single year, and we need housing for them.
Look, if this inquiry finds wrongdoing, it's incredibly bad for the Ford government. It is. And it's something that when we talk about poking holes, it won't be that difficult. Problem being, will the Ford government lose enough support from people who did vote for them? It's one thing if you didn't vote for Doug Ford in 2014 and 2018 already, and you're steamed. What creates sea change in politics is you vote for someone and then they lose your support. You absolutely back somebody and then you back away a little bit later on saying, oh my goodness, what have I done? I mean, there's been many Ontario elections that have seen that transpire. You wouldn't have seen necessarily the pullback in support from Kathleen Wynne's majority government in 2014 to getting obliterated in an election in 2018. Bob Rae faced that in 1995, coming off 1990. Clearly, he lost support from his faithful. I think this could happen here to some extent, because I also believe the environment isn't a left-right issue at the end of the day. As I mentioned, John Fraser, interim Liberal leader, will be on around 7:30. He puts this rather bluntly. I think at times, the Liberal leader, John Fraser, the NDP leader, Marit Stiles, they'll say what they need to say to make the Ford government look bad. Some of the criticism is fair. Some of it seems to border on, well, hyperbole. This one from John Fraser, to me, is right on the money.
You know, quite frankly, the ties between the people who stand to benefit the most and the Premier and the Conservative Party are just too close. And I think any reasonable person would say this, it just doesn't smell right.
Yeah, it doesn't smell right. It doesn't smell right. It makes no sense that developers would spend huge amounts of money on parcels of land that they can't build on. So they either know that they can build on it, or it's a hell of a gamble. It's a hell of a gamble because you won't be able to get your money back if you can't build on property. It's the same if you were buying a new house in a neighborhood and all of a sudden they said, well, you bought the parcel of land, but we're not going to let you build that house now. We need it for something else. Never in a million years would you get the same money back that you paid for it, unless, I don't know, a hockey arena is going up or a restaurant or a casino or something. If it's just going to be parkland and it's going to be protected, you've lost. And all these developers would have lost in this particular case. It's also worth mentioning what happened with David Crombie, who is a former federal Conservative cabinet minister. You heard me a minute ago say this isn't a left-right issue. David Crombie sure didn't think so. He was on Ontario's Greenbelt Council until he wasn't. He looked at the Ford government's plans, their omnibus bill, which strips power from local conservation authorities, and said, I don't want anything to do with this anymore.
So we took the position and said so to the minister in our normal way through a letter that we would appreciate it if they would not continue with Schedule 6 and put it out for better discussion and better review. They chose not to do that. So it seemed to me that what the struggle was going to be on was the future of environmental planning in the province, not just in the Greenbelt, in the province, because it's conservation authorities that are affected. And so it seemed to me the best way I could go about it, since I was not making any headway, nor was the council making any headway working on the inside, at least in my judgment and our judgment, it was better for me to resign and carry on the struggle with the government as a citizen.
So there you go. And at that point in time, let me remind you, who was the environment minister? Steve Clark. What is he now? The housing minister, Steve Clark. At that time, he said that proposed bill, that doesn't apply to the Greenbelt. But at the time, people wondered whether it was political spin. It turns out it was. There's no exemption for the Greenbelt. At that point in time, when Crombie quits, it's fair game. Any developer, you know, scrupulous or the other kind, could get around the protections to the ecosystem and build whatever they want, wherever they want, whenever they wanted to. And that's the scenario we're in right now. And that's why it's worth investigating who knew what when.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.